This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines, and we may just be days away from a massive overhaul of the nation's healthcare system. House Democrats planning a week, possibly by week's end, on the Senate version of healthcare reform legislation, a bill that most House Democrats hate, but they see as the easiest way to get most of what they want inserted into federal law. The plan is for the House to approve the Senate bill as is, and then go about the process of fixing it through the controversial legislative process known as reconciliation, which would bypass a potential Republican filibuster in the U.S. Senate. But first, the Democrats need to find 216 votes in the House to pass that Senate plan, which most people don't like very well. Democratic House Whip Jim Clyburn told Meet the Press over the weekend that he thinks they'll get the votes, but they don't have them yet.
We don't have them as of this morning, but we've been working this thing all weekend. We'll be working it going into the week. I'm also very confident that we'll get this done.
President Obama heading to his final rally before the House vote on the bill. Today he was in suburban Cleveland, Ohio, talking about what he sees as the benefits of the plan. The president touched on a number of subjects, but said he was very encouraged about this bill because it ends what he calls some of the worst practices of the insurance industry. And the president used some colorful language to drive the point home.
Essentially, here's what my proposal would change. Three things about the current healthcare system, but three important things. Number one, it would end the worst practices of the insurance companies. All right? This is like a patient's bill of rights on steroids.
The president also says that he wants to see lower costs and an expansion of coverage as his two other major priorities. The president also taking aim at the Republican criticisms of the bill, some of which have gone back for months.
The opponents of reform, they've tried to make a lot of different arguments to stop these changes. You remember, first they said, well, there's a government takeover of healthcare. Well, that wasn't true. Then they said, well, what about death panels? Well, that didn't turn out to be true. The most insidious argument they're making is the idea that somehow this would hurt Medicare.
As you possibly heard in there were some hecklers in the crowd who were very much pointing out that some Republicans believe those criticisms are very much valid, including that this would be essentially a major government intervention into healthcare and essentially taking over the system in a number of years, and also that they do believe those panels that would encourage people to talk about end-of-life care would essentially encourage people at the end of their lives to choose ending their lives as a means of saving healthcare costs for the nation. The president also is clearly aware of the political ramifications of this vote, even though he says he doesn't know about the politics and what will happen in the polls. It's clear from the uncertainty among his own rank-and-file Democrats that many believe a vote for this package would be a political death sentence come November. So that leaves the president appealing to one character trait.
And now as we get closer to the vote, there's a lot of hand-wringing going on. We hear a lot of people in Washington talking about politics, talking about what this means in November, talking about the poll numbers for Democrats and Republicans. We need courage.
But as of right now, the votes aren't there. According to the liberal blog FireDogLake.com, they say there are confirmed 191 yes votes for this package, 203 confirmed no votes, 216 is the magic number that both sides need to get to. Over on the Senate side of Capitol Hill today, Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd, chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, unveiling what he sees as the Senate version of legislation that would reform oversight for Wall Street and the banking industry following the economic calamity of 2008 that still is obviously affecting many people today. Senator Dodd says the problem goes back to lax regulation.
But the truth is that those historic collapses weren't the beginning at all. The crisis that has led to so much economic carnage in the lives of middle-class Americans was caused by the long-standing failure of our regulatory structure to adapt to our changing financial systems and prevent the sort of dangerous risk-taking that led us here.
Dodd says one of the provisions in this bill is to put an end to the notion that any company is too big to fail.
Never again should the American taxpayer be asked to write a check because of an implicit guarantee that the federal government will bail out a company when it collapses would threaten the stability of the economy as a whole. Companies simply shouldn't be that big or that complex. It isn't safe for our nation.
Essentially, the legislation would give the government the power to break up massive companies in order to help try and stave off the type of collapse that afflicted so many major Wall Street corporations in 2008 and beyond. Also, it would create a Consumer Financial Protection Agency that would be housed within the Federal Reserve. Now, that is different than the House bill, which would make it a standalone agency. The House bill, far more sweeping. Dodd was alone in the presentation, meaning he has some convincing to do on the Senate side of Capitol Hill before there's even an effort to merge it with the legislation spearheaded by Barney Frank in the House of Representatives. As far as the Dodd legislation is concerned, some say it goes too far in some areas. Others say it doesn't go far enough in some other sectors. Former presidential candidate Steve Forbes says it's very weak in one particular area.
This bill, unfortunately, doesn't deal with the real problems. Put aside the mistakes made by the Federal Reserve, this bill does not deal with in a credible way with the secretness of credit default swaps. They should be required to be cleared in clearinghouses. Senate bill talked about it, but now have enough loopholes that make Swiss cheese look like the Rock of Gibraltar.
Forbes was speaking with MSNBC. And one final note, another dose of sad news coming from Hollywood. Peter Graves became a household name to millions of Americans through his role as Jim Phelps, head of the team on Mission Impossible, airing on CBS in the late 60s and early 70s. Later, he went very contrary to his serious role in that series by playing Captain Clarence Over in both of the Airplane movies. Peter Graves had died on Sunday following a heart attack. At the age of 83, he would have been 84. Later this week, he had just had brunch with his family and died of a heart attack after returning home. Peter Graves, dead at 83. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.